Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharpe, the National Field Director for STAND. I will lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Bishop Jackson. Father, we thank you for the opportunity again to be together here on this call. Thank you for each of these patriots who are standing firm in their commitment to you, to your word, and to the principles and characteristics that make America the nation that she has been. We thank you for America. We thank you for the United States of America, because we know that this nation is unique in the history of mankind. And we know that's because your wisdom was what fueled the founders to put together a government that had never been seen before. We thank you for the Constitution. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with a system of government that begins with we the people, and does not begin with the centralized government, does not begin with government at all. In fact, the Declaration of Independence says it begins with you. And so, Lord, continue to guide us. We're looking today and in the coming days at this election next Tuesday, and we need your power. We need your intervention. We need your grace to move in the hearts and minds of people. There may be undecided voters out there that need just a nudge in the right direction, so that we can get back on track as a nation. But Lord, we know, as Bishop Jackson has often said, we know that Donald Trump isn't perfect. But Lord, we also know that your hand is on him, and you've spared his life from at least two attempts on his life just in recent months. And so we know that you have a purpose for him, and we're asking you to work out that purpose in his life and in the life of this country. Bless Bishop Jackson as he shares with us today, and may your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Mullen. Appreciate that. Well, everybody, you've got me for this week. No call next week. And then I'll be back the week after to sort of assess what's happened during the election. And then we'll be back to having some other guests. But I wanted to take these 2 weeks to kind of put a bookend on this election. The Tuesday before, we're 1 week away, and the Tuesday after to assess what's happened. As I'm sure all of you know, things are looking good. But I would quickly add, but we cannot take anything for granted, because it is obvious that they are in panic mode. When I say they, the Democrats are in panic mode. They are willing to say absolutely anything in order to persuade people that Donald Trump is a true danger to our country, and that they cannot vote for him. But it's not working, thank God. It is not working. I said a couple weeks ago, I may have said it to you all last Tuesday as well, but I've been on this theme for several weeks now, that the closing strategy for the left is mass hysteria. In other words, try to scare the daylights out of people, try to frighten people, the demagoguery of fear. The Donald Trump is horrible. The people who support him are horrible, and they are a danger, a threat to our democracy, to quote them. And that we cannot imagine a country led by him and the people who support him. But thank God that the American people are smarter than they give us credit for, and realize it is all a bunch of lies and propaganda, and they're not buying into it. So things are looking good. I voted already. I trust most of you have. If you haven't already, get out there and vote early, and spend your time trying to persuade other people to get out there and make sure that they vote as well. All these Christians, all these Second Amendment activists, all of these First Amendment and believers in religious liberty and freedom of speech, every single one of them needs to make their voices heard at the ballot box. So I'll begin with this thought. I preached a sermon, if you have not heard it. I would recommend you go back and listen to it, my election sermon called Christians in Elections, Will You Be Overcome or will you be an overcomer? And really the central thesis of that sermon was when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world and the salt, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." I said, in effect, really, Christians are the immune system for societal decay. We're the immune system for societal disease and infection. If your immune system quit on you today, if every single one of us had our immune system quit on us today, barring emergency enclosure in some hermetically sealed bubble with a bunch of antibiotics pumped into us, we'd be dead in 2 to 3 weeks because the diseases, the germs, the cancers, all the stuff that's around us and often operating in us would overwhelm us and we would die, and we would die pretty quickly. But because of our immune system, we don't, because it fights off most of that, almost all of it, and keeps us healthy on an ongoing basis, just day to day. So, you know, a paper cut doesn't become a blood infection that kills you. And, you know, the cold doesn't become pneumonia and bacterial infection or ravage your body and destroy you. You all remember that Jim Henson, I mean, he was no doubt overworked, overtired, probably his immune system compromised. He got something that he thought was a mild cold. It ended up being a bacterial infection. And within 2 weeks after the first symptoms, he was dead. They waited too long to get him to a doctor. When they got him to the hospital, 21 hours later, his body just gave in because the infection had gotten into his bloodstream and overwhelmed his immune system and shut down every organ, and he could not recover. They couldn't save him. That's a picture of what happens when the immune system is either overwhelmed or shuts down. And I made the point that when Christians refuse to vote and refuse to participate in the process, that is like your immune system saying, I am no longer going to fight diseases off. I am no longer going to fight infection. You are now on your own, in which case you're going to die. And so without Christians involved, without Christians voting, without Christians speaking up, our society is dead. And every time a Christian says, well, I'm not voting and I'm not participating, they're in effect pronouncing a death sentence on our society. Because we are the only ones, we are the repositories of God's wisdom, God's righteousness, God's truth. And if we don't propound that, if we don't proclaim that, if we don't set forth those important principles which have, again, guided this country from its very beginning, and we haven't followed them perfectly, of course, but nevertheless, they have been the foundation of this nation's success. And without that, and Christians upholding that and speaking to that, we're done as a society. We are done. You know, there was a time in the Founding Fathers' time was like that, and I would say probably up until the 60s was like that, where even people who weren't professed Christians or Orthodox Jews or that sort of thing, nevertheless, we're imbued with the same values. We're imbued with the same ideas. And so those ideas governed our culture, even among people who weren't necessarily devout Christians or committed to Jesus Christ. That's no longer the case. We're now living in a culture that has wholly rejected, where about half the people are following folks, I don't know whether they have, but the people they're following have wholly rejected the Judeo-Christian worldview for our country. And therefore, without Christians to inject that immunology, if you will, into the system to inoculate us, you get what you see, which is, you know, universities telling us that men are women and women are men, and guys should be able to play on women's sports. And anybody who doesn't understand that is some kind of quote-unquote transphobe, and that guys should be able to use women's locker rooms and restrooms, and that, you know, it's okay to kill an unborn baby up until the moment of birth. And if it happens to be born alive as a result of a botched abortion, it's okay to just kill it or let it die there. And this stuff, we find this stuff completely insane. I mean, it's monstrous. But that's what you get when you have a culture no longer imbued by the immunological impact of Christian and Judeo-Christian thinking. So where they just completely reject it and they go completely off the rails. When a whole society does that, that society is done. And this election, folks, as far as I'm concerned, is that choice. The choice between whether we live and thrive and continue on as a Judeo-Christian nation, or we wholesale reject that as the foundation of our nation and really just begin the process of completely imploding. In other words, we begin the march to our destruction. And there are a lot of people trying to lead us that way, but thank God there are a lot of Americans who are saying no. So we got to. One of the things that I would urge you to do, I know I've asked my family members about it, have you voted? You know, are you going to vote? Because, you know, we got some people who even agree with us who may not understand the urgency, the importance of their getting out to vote. And then, of course, there are people who might be on the fence who don't know, don't understand. Some of them claim to be Christians. And to the extent they are persuadable, we need to persuade them that they are thinking the wrong way. If they're thinking as Christians, that somehow a vote for Kamala Harris is right in on any basis whatsoever. Tyler Perry is the guy who claims to be a Christian. He's out campaigning for Kamala Harris. Steph Curry. These are just a couple of the prominent names I can think of. There are many, many others. Well, let's put it this way. I don't know how many others there are, but there are some others who claim to be Christians, but they're supporting Kamala Harris. Some maybe not so famous. Some of them are pastors. They are completely and totally misguided. And to the extent that they are persuadable, anybody we know is persuadable who's tending in that direction, we need to tell them, you are taking a stand of rebellion against Almighty God if you vote for Kamala Harris, because every wrong thing you can think of, she basically supports. And you have to discount her lies about, oh, no, I think differently about this, that, or the other. No, she doesn't think differently about anything. She's just she is a political prostitute, and she will do or say whatever she thinks she needs to do or say in order to get what she wants. And I use that term without any trepidation whatsoever, because I think that's been the story of her political career, which began with her relationship with Willie Davis when he was a 60-year-old married man and she was a 29-year-old single woman. And that's how she advanced in California. That was the beginning of her career in California. As far as I'm concerned, she's no different now. She will say or do pretty much anything in order to get what she wants. And then, of course, she'll be a puppet to those who are putting her in place and have put her in place so far. She'll just be their puppet. I mean, she doesn't shed her maven status by winning an election. She just then becomes somebody's pawn in whatever office she holds. So the people whose pawn she would become are people who do not mean good toward this country. They hate it, and they really do want to fundamentally transform it. So let me add this. So this election is between right now a Republican candidate who wants to defend and preserve our constitutional republic, and a Democrat candidate and a party that wants to overthrow it. They want to overthrow the country. That's what they want. And let me tell you exactly how they're going to do this and what they would do if they were to succeed. And this is by way of us not letting up on the gas. We got to keep pushing to make sure that Donald Trump gets elected. They've got several things that they really plan to do if they have their way. One of them is they intend to create a censorship regime. And that censorship regime is primarily to silence you and me. See, because propaganda doesn't work if you have freedom of speech. Because if you enable people to be heard with a contrary, who have a contrary viewpoint, you undermine the impact of the propaganda and demagoguery. You've got to silence all opposition. That's how China works. That's how North Korea works. That's how Russia works. That's how all of the Venezuela works. That's how these totalitarian countries work. It's not enough to produce propaganda and demagoguery. You've got to silence the opposition. And that's who Democrats are. That's what they really want. And so, and by the way, there's proof of that. Remember the Disinformation Governance Board? Everybody remember that? The Disinformation Governance Board? Well, we all heard about that, and we shrunk back in horror. What in the world? I mean, it sounds like something right out of 1984. Oh, well, it's only for the Department of Homeland Security. We're only going to... But we know what they were doing with big tech. We know they were telling them they shouldn't do stories about Hunter Biden's laptop, and we know they were pushing the Russian hoax story with them. We know what they did during COVID, how they told them there's certain things that people should not be allowed to say. I was taken off YouTube two or three times for saying things like, "What about one's natural immune system? What about ivermectin? They took me off, and they're still telling me that my content is harmful. So Kamala Harris gets, if she were to get elected, they would institute a censorship regime, and they would probably do it more stealthily this time than last time. You all may or may not know this, because I didn't know it until I began to review some of the stuff that they've done. The Disinformation Governance Board had been operating for nearly 3 months when we heard about it. They had already implemented it. It was already in operation. And I guess somebody in the administration said, you know, we better probably let this go public so that we, you know, we don't get sort of caught red-handed doing this behind the scenes. And so they announced it as if it was going to happen, but it already happened. They were already doing it. So I think in the future, they've learned a lesson, which is we have to do it and not tell them about it. We just have to do it. And then when people say they're being censored, we say, oh, no, we don't believe, nobody's censoring anybody. And that's a much more effective way to do it than announcing a Disinformation Governance Board and putting a woman on as executive director of that board who is a known far left radical who hated when X was purchased. I'm drawing a blank, but basically when it was revealed what Twitter was doing to censor, and she just went absolutely ballistic. Because that's what she wanted. She wanted them censoring. And that's Elon Musk. I don't know why I drew a blank on him. But when he took over Twitter, she just went off the rails. And this is who they put in charge of this thing. And they want to tell us, oh, no, it was only about protecting our national security. Are you kidding me? So that's the first thing they want to do. They want to create a censorship regime. They want to pack the Supreme Court. Why? Because then they can do whatever they want to do, and they don't have to be concerned about the Supreme Court saying, you can't do that. It's unconstitutional. They get a rubber stamp on whatever they want to do. They'll put four doctrinaire leftists in there who will basically say the Constitution is a living document, and it means whatever we want it to mean, and boom, everything they do, they'll get it rubber stamped by the Supreme Court if anybody were to challenge it. And, of course, you know, in order to get all this stuff, they'll do away with the filibuster rules so that they can push things through the Senate with one vote. Now, right now it's looking like they're going to lose the White House, they're going to lose the Senate, they're going to lose the House. That's the way it's looking 1 week out from the election, and pray to God that that's exactly the way that's exactly the way it turns out, that they lose the White House, they lose the Senate, and they lose the House, and Republicans are in charge, and President Trump's agenda can go forward with some energy and without all the opposition that we know. In fact, apparently Republicans could take as many as 55 Senate seats. That would be tremendous if they end up with a good, strong majority in the House and the Senate. And right now the momentum is moving Trump's way, and it looks like he's going to have coattails. So it's everything's looking great right now. But let me just tell you, folks, I just had a discussion with Marlon this morning about increasing our ad buys in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia, because we're not letting up at all. We're not saying, "Oh, well, things are looking good now. We can kind of back off." We are pushing the pedal to the metal, running right through the finish line, because we know we can't take anything for granted. They're going to do and say anything they think they can in order to try to derail Donald Trump. And we have to pray for his protection, because, frankly, in my view, if they could kill him, they would. And if they could have it done, they would, because they hate the man just that much. And they hate him because of what he represents, because they can't kill all of us. But they figure if they chop the head off the leader, then the rest of us, you know, run around like, we don't know what direction to go. They don't know. God forbid that would happen, but they don't know we would regroup and go continue to pursue the same values all over again. At least I have to think most of us would. So they don't realize Donald Trump's not being supported because he's Donald Trump. He's being supported because he represents the values that we've held dear for decades. Rush Limbaugh didn't become the top talk show host in America because he was Rush Limbaugh. He became the top talk show host in America because he represented ideas and values that we all shared. And we then pushed him up and supported him and followed him and listened to him because we agreed with him, not because we were stupid lemmings following whoever has the loudest voice to wherever they say go. But that's the way the left wants to paint us. You know, frankly, right, worse than that, they want to paint us as Nazis. But, folks, we've got to get our vote out. We got 1 week left to save America, and I trust that everybody is going to do that. Let me say one more thing, and then I'll open it up for your questions, your comments, and any suggestions you have. Look, I am completely 99% focused on this election. However, I want to tell you, I've always got a certain portion of my attention focused on what happens after the administration finishes its work and the 4 years runs its course, because we're fighting for a country, not just an election, but we're fighting for a country. And so we've got to be praying and working to get people in the pipeline who are absolutely committed to the principles we hold dear. So those people rise up. They end up in Congress. They end up in the Senate. They are on the city council. They're on the school boards. They're on the county supervisory boards or county commissions. They are in at every level of government, standing up for the things that we believe in and preparing to move up. And ultimately, we have a big bench of potential presidential candidates who are really our people. And when I say that, I'm not talking about the Jim Cornyns or the Thunes or some of these people or the McConnells. I'm talking about solid, Bible-believing Christians, conservatives, who are rooted and grounded in unshakable principle. Yeah, people like Ted Cruz. I think Josh Hawley's got some growing and maturing to do, but people like Josh Hawley. There's some couple question marks about Tom Cotton, but I think generally speaking, Tom Cotton got his head on straight. But folks like that are the kinds of people we need to see rising up to step into these offices, because, you know, think about this. Who would have thought that at this stage in this election, Mike Pence would be a mere footnote that most of us have completely written off? No, you would have thought Mike Pence will become president of the United States, and let's hope that when Donald Trump finishes two terms, Mike Pence steps in. Mike Pence is completely off the political landscape. Who would have thought it? We don't know what's going to happen with J.D. Vance. I hope that he proves to be everything we hope he is. But we better be thinking always with one eye on the future, because saving a country is more than about saving an election. And holding Donald Trump's feet to the fire to make sure that he doesn't get hoodwinked or bamboozled by the Republican establishment. He's already allowed some compromise on the Republican platform on life. I don't believe that's his real heart. I think he did that as out of political expediency. But we got to make sure that political expediency doesn't rule. If they've got control of all three branches of government, they ought to do exactly what Democrats would have done, which is go as far as they can, as fast as they can, to implement policies that cannot be changed when they're out of office. That would go a long way towards securing the future of the country. When I ran, my theme was securing America's future, because I really believe that that's about more than just winning one election. And so let's have our eyes on, our hearts on, our prayers on the future of the country beyond the Trump administration. But right now, let's just make sure that we indeed get a Trump administration elected. Let me stop there. Press star 6 if you've got any questions, any comments, any thoughts about anything that I've said or about, and of course, about this upcoming election, and anything you think needs to be done or that we need to keep our eyes on or that we need to be saying to people. The floor is open because, folks, we are down to the wire. 7 days left to make the decision on who becomes the next president of the United States, as well as who controls the House and who controls the Senate. All right, let's start taking calls.
Bishop Jim Wright here in Portsmouth.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Listen, I just came off the press conference by Trump. I don't know what I missed on this call, but he's on a roll. And yesterday he had a number of pastors praying for him. Do you see that?
I didn't see that, but I know it's happened a number of times.
Well, this is yesterday. Laid on many of them, laying hands on him again. Unbelievable.
Praise God.
And
praise
he said,
God.
We will fix the Johnson Amendment. We'll put it through Congress. We'll get that thing killed forever. Praise Jesus.
Amen. That's why we need him as president. Yes, indeed.
So anyway, I'm fired up. I can't believe what's happened to him. He needs to be protected. Need to kill him. He's the only way to stop him. He's overcome impeachments and everything else and the lawfare. It's unbelievable. And he goes to having three events today, guys. Three events. Three. This afternoon and this evening in Pennsylvania. Three.
I'll tell you, and Jim, you're so right. Look, everything they've thrown at him has only made him stronger. So, he is a phenomenon. There's no question about it. And I really believe, as I've said many times, in spite of all of his flaws, I really believe that Donald Trump is a godsend. He is the man upon whose hand God rests for the leadership of this nation for the next 4 years at the very least. So I'm excited too. Thanks for the call, Jim. All right, let's take the next one.
Good morning, Pastor. I'm Bishop Jackson. This is Jose from the Democratic People's Republic of California calling in with two questions, sir.
All right, Jose.
So number one, what do you think about Elon Musk's sort of million-dollar lottery thing for voting and also for paying for people to travel across the country to canvass in swing states? And then number two, what do you think would be the longest-lasting change that Mr. Trump can make in perhaps one administration, maybe? Would it be the judiciary with further appointments to the Supremes that last their lifetime, or federal judges, or maybe some of these three-letter agencies that maybe we could change it to the Department of Justice rather than the Department of Injustice? Thank you, and God bless you. Becky,
God bless you too, Jose. I love it when Jose calls his from the state of California. And look, folks, That's exactly what the Democrats want for America. They want America to become communifornia. They want America to become a communist nation. Again, they wouldn't use the label. Just like I said, their censorship regime, they won't call it that, and they won't have a disinformation governance board. They'll just do it without putting any label on it, without announcing it. They'll just do it, and that's what they want to do to this country. They'll turn us into a communist country, but they'll never call it that. On the two questions, Elon Musk, you know, I have a saying, God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. And I really believe that God is using Donald Trump. Some people believe Donald Trump is a Christian, an immature one. Some people believe Donald Trump is just being used by God. I fall into the latter camp. I don't know whether Donald Trump is a Christian or not. I don't even think it matters. I think what matters is that God is using him the same way he used Cyrus and used Darius and use Nebuchadnezzar, and I don't put him in, I don't think Donald Trump's a pagan. I believe that Donald Trump is nominally at least holds Christian values. I mean, the man's never taken a drink, never used a drug. He's raised three beautiful children who are living productive lives, even though they grew up in the lap of wealth and luxury. The man's clearly doing something right, and he's got his personal failings, but who hasn't? Anybody on this call who hasn't had personal failings? Lord knows I certainly have. So, you know, look, I believe God is using Elon Musk, too. I really do. And I'm glad that Elon Musk is spending money. We had Mark Zuckerberg do it last time. I'm glad Elon Musk is spending money in order to help organize and get out the vote. And by the way, I think this million-dollar lottery is completely legal because he's not paying anybody to vote. You can't give somebody money to go tell them to vote a certain way. He's not paying anybody to vote. And it is a lottery, by the way. You have to, I guess, there's some kind of drawing to win it. I don't think there's any illegality there whatsoever. And I think if they try to sue him over it and try to make something of it, they're going to lose. But you know what? I say, keep on going, Elon Musk. I would say this. Pray for Elon Musk to be saved. Let's be praying for him. He's the richest man in the world, and he's an American. Pray for him to be saved. What would it be like if the wealthiest man in the world turned all his wealth toward pursuing Christian ideals and values and helping Christian organizations? The man could have a tremendous impact. So I'm very happy to have him on our side. Now, as far as the most lasting impact that Donald Trump could make, you know, I think the first is the judiciary, but you know, there's something else that he could do. I think Donald Trump has really got to go after these colleges and universities and start saying, if you're going to be indoctrination camps, federal money is not going to be available to you because we should not be using federal money to advance, in effect, a political agenda. And that's exactly what you're doing. You are indoctrinating people to be leftists, to be Marxists, to be socialists, to be Democrats. And we're not giving you federal money to do that. And I think if he starts putting pressure on and starts saying federal money is not going to be available, I don't care who you are, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, none of you, you will not be getting federal money, so that these university boards maybe and begin to think, well, you know what, maybe we do lean a little bit too much in one political direction. We ought to sort of come back to neutrality. Start hiring more professors who have a different perspective, because right now part of the problem with the country is, Jose, that we are like a factory in our government schools and our university systems, turning out godless Marxist people, and it doesn't portend well for the future of the country if that doesn't get arrested, if we don't stop that. So to me, that's one of the things that he needs to address. I haven't heard anybody talk about that, but it's one of the things that needs to be addressed. That's how California became a one-party state, because they've got a factory turning out indoctrinated people. So, okay, let's take one more call. I see Pastor Johnny Hunter on the line. Let's take that.
Praise the Lord, Bishop Jackson.
Praise the Lord. Reverend Hunter, God bless you, man. Good to have you on.
Oh, I tell you, it's great to be on. I be on a lot of times. I just listen in. But I tell you, your words that you spoke today has been so profound. and so eloquent, but they need to be addressed. I would like to challenge everybody. You know, I saw Harris was on somebody's church. They allowed the devil in the pulpit, which makes no sense at all. You know, but there are things that are happening. There's ideas you've just put out that everybody really needs to be aware of even more. When you say, like, plan for the future, it was nice when Trump was in office and he put those executive orders in stage, but executive orders doesn't have a long-term effect. And we saw how easily they could be knocked out. Biden signed blank pieces of paper, which sometimes somebody else filled in because he was just a figurehead in the first place, and erased a whole lot of the good things Trump had done by using an executive order. So we're going to have to make sure that we don't have it. Plus, we got to have a Republican Party that is so sharp and so hard that when they were a majority, there was 50 of them, 48 Democrats, and two independents. Well, they weren't independents because Bernie Sanders was an outright communist. And yet he joined up with them so they could become the majority party. Makes no sense at all. And but I'm saying this, but I want to say this to everybody out there. Everybody that has any kind of platform, we need to have Bishop Jackson on that platform. Everybody that has a radio program, a little TV spot, or even if you got an article, the news things you write, just like the enemy put their devil on the platform, we need to put good folks on our platforms. So I would like to challenge everyone to open the door for Bishop Jackson to get the word out, because we don't hope, because the Republican Party, that platform there has been dissolved a little bit on the pro-life side. And if we can't put the president's feet to the fire, we're going to be in trouble. And I appreciate what you said, Bishop Jackson. That is so profound and just is wonderful. We need to heed it.
Well, listen, Pastor Hunter, thank you so much for that encouragement, and I appreciate that. Look, I am available, folks. I've been doing quite a few hits on various radio and television programs. I want to do more. In fact, I think they've got a tape on Victory, the Victory Channel, if you all watch that. That's going to be in a loop about my commentary on the election. So, look, I'm available. I'll do anything I can do. I'm hitting the road. I would say Tuesday, hitting the road on Thursday, and I'll be traveling from Thursday up until the day before the election. So anything I can do to help, let me know. Any podcast I can appear on, any radio program I can appear on, let me know. I will make myself available. By the way, that church in Philadelphia is called Church of Christian Compassion. And, you know, it's interesting. Gary Hambrick's church was challenged. They had their 501c3 status challenge because he preached an election sermon. But these churches, particularly these urban churches, these black churches, will have presidential candidates come in. They'll basically endorse them, and it's no problem. And you know what? I say fine, because we have a First Amendment right to do that. But why punish conservatives then when they even just preach an election sermon? Well, and Donald Trump has said, we're going to end the Johnson Amendment once and for all. And you're right, Pastor Hunter. The way that needs to happen is we need to have legislation that completely undoes that, so that the First Amendment is recognized for churches as well. Preachers can say whatever they want to say from their pulpits about any subject they want to speak on. And the people who can determine whether they're allowed to say it are their congregants, not the government. Okay, let's take one more. I think we've got Minister Vera Ham on.
Yes. Praise the Lord, everybody. God bless
praise
you, Bishop, for your remarks. And thank you for your continued fight in the faith. And hold firm, for the Lord himself will be our reward. So I thank God. Amen. Thank the Lord for you. I just wanted to briefly say we have received presidential voter guides. And if everyone could get those voter guides and hand them out, make copies and hand them out, especially here in Virginia, we have a Senate race, you know. And so that gives the issue, and those voter guides will tell you directly what their stand is. And also the party platform comparison. So if we can get those in our hands.
Pastor Ham, where did you get those? Who got those to you?
Yes, FRC Action.
Okay.
Family Research Council and Family Research Council up in D.C.
So Pastor Marlon, look into that, because we haven't been contacted about that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It takes just a matter of days. They'll send you a box. It takes just a matter of days.
Okay. All right. Well, that's important. Voter guides. I know a number of groups have put them out. I didn't know that anybody had put any out in Virginia, but I'm glad to hear that that's been done. Well, look, folks, it's time for us to go, but this is it. We are down to the wire. Thank you all for the encouraging words to me, but I want to encourage you all. Look, we are just 7 days from victory, 7 days from victory. And this is the way the Lord gave it to me. The same way God allowed Donald Trump to dodge the bullet that was intended to kill him. If we will turn to what is right, he turned to his right. If we will turn to what is right and turn toward the right, we will dodge the bullet that Satan has with the intention of killing this country. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's exactly what the Democrats and Kamala Harris have in mind now. So to God be the glory for victory. We're believing him for it. Faith without works, however, is dead. And so as my pastor used to say, we're going to pray like everything depends upon God and then work like everything depends upon us. And I really believe that if we run through the finish line, we're going to have a great victory to celebrate. About 8 days from now, we'll be talking about how God delivered us from the hands of these wicked folks, giving us another 4 years to set this country straight. And we trust begin something that takes us beyond 4 years, as Pastor Johnny Hunter amplified what I just said, so we understand that we get beyond just mere executive orders and mere cosmetic changes, so that we make changes that permanently alter the direction of this nation, as opposed to what the Democrats have in mind of turning us into something other than a constitutional republic. So God bless each and every one of you. Stand up. Step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.